With the front seven on the defensive side of the football a likely target for the Green Bay Packers in the first round of the NFL draft, we take a look at some of the top prospects. We welcome Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus onto the show to break them down. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for the NFL draft. To do that, we have a guest coming up. It's a pre-recorded interview, but I was able to do it yesterday with Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus. The focus of our interview is the front seven on the defensive side of the football, where I think the Packers will probably make multiple selections in the first couple rounds. I'm not guaranteeing that's going to be the first round pick or the day one, day two pick, but you know, I think by the end of day two, they will have made multiple selections on the defensive front seven side of the football. So with that being said, without further ado, let's get to our
expert interview.
We're joined right now by Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focused, who's going to help us take a look at the NFL draft and prospects on the front seven of the defensive side of the football. And as you'll see, we're going to isolate some ways of looking at these players and then look at the overall package they offer as we work our way through the defensive linemen and both outside and inside linebackers. But Steve, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Let's start with the defensive line here. And minus DeForest Buckner, and we're going to kind of maybe gloss over some of the players the Green Bay Packers have no chance of possibly drafting. And I suppose that's a subjective case here. But anyway, Steve, who are the three interior defensive linemen against the run who are the best in this year's draft class?
Yeah, if you're looking beyond Buckner, I think the one guy to really highlight that I think the Packers may have a shot at is Jaron Reed from Alabama. I just think he's the most polished interior defensive lineman from a technique standpoint. He can two-gap, he can one-gap a little bit, but, you know, he's really stout at the point of attack. And not only is he disruptive, but he knows how to finish plays as well. He was our top, our leader, national leader in run stop percentage, as well as one of our top graded interior defensive linemen. So Reed is really solid all around. And then depending on whether or not you call him an interior player or not, Jonathan Bullard is a guy from Florida. I look at him as a guy that could play on the interior, but also play a little bit of base defensive end. But as far as playing the run, he's excellent at just reading blocks, defeating blocks. And similar to Reed, he's not only disruptive, but he makes plays. So I really like what he does in the run game. And then to be honest, this defensive interior line class is so deep. There are so many different styles of player. I'll highlight two of them. It's A'shaun Robinson, another Alabama player, really stout against the run, 3-4 defensive end prototype. I don't know how much he can get after the QB, but against the run, he's excellent. Just doesn't get blocked off the point of attack very often. And then Austin Johnson from Penn State, who I see as a different type of player, one gap a little bit more at Penn State, gets up the field and has really, really quick hands. All those Penn State linemen seem to use their hands pretty well. So Austin Johnson, another guy. I don't know if he's as stout at the point, but he could definitely penetrate and make things happen.
Okay, we kind of glossed over the pass rushing aspect of it in that first question, but let's get into that now. Steve, give me your top three pass rushing interior defensive linemen.
Again, putting DeForest Buckner aside, one guy I don't think a lot of people are talking about is Chris Jones from Mississippi State. And when you look at his games at the end of the season against Arkansas, against Ole Miss, against all the way through the whole second half of the season, he was as dominant as any defensive lineman in the entire country. So I look at Chris Jones, former five-star recruit, showed well from a size and burst standpoint at the combine, and he was extremely productive on the interior. Good hands, good burst off the football. I think a guy who's a little bit, you know, going overlooked as well as Adolphus Washington of Ohio State. And, you know, he's a guy that played more of a nose tackle role in 2014, moved out to more of a three technique role last season, extremely productive on the interior. And then two guys, again, I'll highlight. I give you more than three every time. Two other guys I'll highlight who are actually similar in certain ways, Sheldon Day of Notre Dame and then Robert Candice of Ole Miss. I look at both of these guys as penetrating three technique types. Good burst off the line of scrimmage, both extremely productive pass rushers. I think Candice has the physical tools to eventually develop into maybe the best interior rusher in this entire draft if he can learn to use his hands a little bit better. But he shows some power, bull rush ability. And Sheldon Day, like I said, very, very disruptive. Both of those guys, though, need to do a better job of finishing. They end up, you know, getting juked, you know, missed out on some sacks. You know, they both missed out on a number of plays, but they were extremely productive rushing from the interior.
Interesting. There was no overlap between any of the names you gave me there. So now that we've broken them down, both against the run and against the pass, who are the top three overall interior defensive linemen who kind of combine the best of both worlds?
So DeForest Buckner is the guy. I mean, he's extremely good against the run. 6'7", Calais Campbell type, very disruptive with his hands. I look at another guy I didn't mention was Sheldon Rankins. I think he's more of a top overall package. I think he could play head up. I think he could penetrate. I think he's extremely scheme diverse. And Rankins was extremely productive each of the last 2 years as well. So I like the overall package that he brings. And then I think Chris Jones, from an upside standpoint, I don't know if there's a guy that has a higher ceiling on the defensive line than Jones. So it could be a little bit hit or miss. There are some off-field concerns. There are some effort concerns. But I'll say Jones here. If he hits, he could be one of the best linemen in this entire class.
Great, great. Let's move on to the outside linebacker position. And seeing as we're talking about the Packers, they run a 3-4, so we're kind of breaking up into that 3-4 outside linebackers. Similar question, who are the best pure pass rushers? Just that only from this group, in your opinion.
Some interesting names here, and it's interesting as we put together our big board. There's a lot of guys who are just pass rush type of players and really aren't that great against the run. One of those guys is Shalik Calhoun from Michigan State. He actually had our top pass rush grade amongst all edge rushers last season. So you know he beat up on some Big Ten right tackles. You know, beat up on some lesser competition, but Calhoun is a guy to keep an eye on. Not stout against the run like you would like, but definitely can get after the QB. I look at Leonard Floyd as well from Georgia. You know, they moved him to more of an off-the-ball type of linebacker role last season. So he didn't really have as many opportunities to rush the passer, but he has the size, the length, crushed it at the combine. And when he had a chance to rush the passer, did a really good job. He was one of the most productive edge rushers just going up against offensive tackles when he did have the opportunity. So I look at Calhoun, I look at Floyd, and then Noah Spence is another guy from a run game perspective. I think there are plenty of question marks, but as a pure pass rusher, Noah Spence, what we saw at the Senior Bowl, dominant effort, did a fantastic job, you know, against the better competition because we didn't get to see him against better competition at Eastern Kentucky. He only played NC State and Kentucky as far as FBS schools go. But every time Noah Spence took the field at the Senior Bowl, whether it was practice, whether it was the game, he looks like one of the best edge rushers there. So I'd say those three guys.
Okay, so now we've isolated that trait. Now let's take a look at these guys against the run. Who are the best 3-4 outside linebackers against the run?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of projection here. I look at some of these guys that definitely played more of a 4-3 defensive end role and would have to adjust a little bit to a 3-4 outside linebacker role. Now, Joey Bosa is the guy up at the top of the draft, but again, the Packers really aren't going to have a shot at him.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll have a shot at Shaq Lawson either, so I'll eliminate him from the equation. I will come back to Leonard Floyd again, though. I think Leonard Floyd, again, from a grading standpoint, was solid last season, and I think he has all the tools. He's not maybe as physical as you'd like, but he's at least shown it at times, so I think he could do a nice job setting the edge. Another guy that we look at as more of a second or third round value, and I'm not really sure how the NFL's going to view him, as Kyler Fackrell from Utah State. He's got the frame, and he has the entire package you're looking for at that 3-4 outside linebacker position. So I do think he has a lot of potential on the edge, especially against the run. And then Tevin Dodd from Clemson is a guy that I'm not as high on as everyone else, at least other people that I've heard. I've seen a lot of first-round projection for him. And I think Dodd, he went on this run at the end of the season as a pass rusher, and I think that really put him on a lot of people's radars. And I don't think he's that elite type of edge rusher, but against the run, he does a really nice job. He reads blocks well. He uses his hands. He can shed and make plays. So I think Dodd, he's big. He's a big guy. He would be a big power outside linebacker type, but he's stout against the run. I think he fits that description as a good run-first outside linebacker.
Okay, so just like the defensive linemen now, who are the best well-rounded 3-4 outside linebackers? And you can take Joey Bosa out of the mix if you want.
Yeah, Bosa doesn't count. Again, I'll eliminate Shaq Lawson. I love Leonard Floyd. The overall package, 6'6 frame, and the fact that he weighed in pretty close to 250 pounds, I think that gives him a big advantage there. Kyler Fackrell, who I mentioned before, I think all these guys that I've mentioned that do stop the run have done a nice job of getting after the QB. I think Fackrell does a really nice job. And then, one guy that a few of our analysts really, really like is Kamalea Correa from Boise State. And he didn't grade out outstanding in either specific area, but I think from a pure 3-4 outside linebacker conversion standpoint, one of our analysts, former NFL coach Bobby Slowick, called him the best looking, just pure 3-4 outside linebacker. So I'll mention Kamalea Correa, who graded well for us in every area, but didn't necessarily stand out in any one.
Interesting hearing the how high you're on Kyler Fackrell as well. I haven't heard that from other places, so that's interesting. Finally, let's talk about the 3-4 inside linebacker position, and let's eliminate Miles Jack here. But tell me, who are the top three run stuffing inside linebackers in this year's draft class?
Yeah, it's such an interesting position because you can get some great. I mean, there are some great run-stopping inside linebackers, but I just don't know what that's worth at the next level. But so the first guy I'm going to highlight is Steven Daniels from Boston College. He, as far as in just enjoying watching him play, he's right up there for me because he's just a throwback. He's barely 6 feet tall, in the 250-pound range, and he just destroys blockers, and he plays with just great instincts. He just, reacts to pulling guards. He reacts to run concepts. He's rarely fooled by counteraction. And he's just so quick in a very, very small area. So, if it was 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, this guy's talking about, first-round pick type potential because he's such a thumper. But he does have some limitations athletically. But pure run stopper, Steven Daniels destroys blocks, finishes plays. Instincts take him to the ball. He does a fantastic job there. Another guy similar to that is Scooby Wright from Arizona. He was hurt all last season. But for us, he graded extremely well in 2014, almost off the charts. And he's similar to Daniels in the fact that he's not athletic. He's a 4.9 40 type of guy. But when you watch Scooby Wright play, instincts, reaction time, right as soon as the ball snaps, he's getting in position and getting there to make the play. So Scooby Wright makes up for a lot of his athletic deficiencies by just being in the right place. So another good run stopper. And he's one of the few guys in this draft that can actually take on a block, shed a block, and then his instincts take him to the ball even before the block even gets there, which is better. And then the other guy, which is a little different, is Kentrell Brothers from Missouri. When you look at Brothers, similar, not a great athlete, but does a fantastic job sifting through traffic, finding the ball carrier. He'll get beat up a little bit by blockers, by a lead fullback, by a second-level block, but he does a really nice job when he is left unblocked. If he is protected, I think he might be the very best at sifting through the trash, finding the ball carrier, and making the play. So I look at Daniels, Scooby Wright, Kentrell Brothers, three best run-stopping linebackers.
Okay, so at the other side of the spectrum, give me the three top inside linebackers in pass coverage, so the athletic traits we're looking at.
Yeah, this one's tough. I mean, Miles Jack's a guy. He's going to be a top-five pick. He's a borderline safety. Miles Jack's pretty much the standard. It's difficult now with Jalen Smith because of his injury. I think this drops him down a little bit just because you don't know what you're going to get from him. But if we're talking the Packers, Jalen could be there at the back end of the first. He could be there in the second. I'm not really sure where that stock's going to fall. But Jalen Smith, from an athleticism standpoint, the way he attacks the ball in the screen game and can run with tight ends and receivers down the field, Jalen Smith's a special player in coverage. Another guy that's more about being in the right place at the right spot is Nick Kwiatkowski from West Virginia. Underrated player. He's another solid run stopper type guy. I don't think he's going to be a great man type of coverage player, but I think he just makes plays in zone, gets to the right spot. It's not flashy, but does a really nice job in coverage. And another guy that doesn't really fit the bill of a great athlete, but again, gets to the right spot and, knows angles and knows how to, just play football well, is Josh Perry from Ohio State. Really long, good size. I think he can get up there and jam a tight end in more of a Sam type of role. But also, if he has to run the wheel and run down the field, just does a nice job of getting put in position. He's not always great in space, but he does a nice job, being in the right place at the right time in coverage. To be honest, I don't think there are a whole lot of those pure, great, athletic coverage linebackers in this draft. The guys I've highlighted are more about, making the right play, being in the right place at the right time, which I think in coverage is about half the battle for the linebackers. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's look at the overall package then. Who are the top three inside linebackers overall? And I didn't even really bring up their pass rush ability, so maybe you can bring that up here.
Well, yes, Miles Jack's the guy, let's eliminate him. He's top five. Mm-hmm. Jalen Smith, let's maybe eliminate him just because of the injury. So the next guy on the list for me is Reggie Ragland of Alabama. So you mentioned the pass rushing. That's kind of his added, element that the other guys may not have. Ragland would be he was an edge rusher at times on third down for Alabama. So he doubled as that 3-4 outside linebacker at Alabama and an inside linebacker. He's really good in the run game, rarely misses a run fit, right place at the right time. He's not great in coverage, but I think he knows his limitations. And then he has that extra pass rushing ability. He had some production against college offensive tackles, and I always think if you have that type of production off the edge, you should do okay, lined up against NFL running backs. So I think Ragland adds a little bit of a movable chess piece to a defense because he has that pass rushing ability. I do like Nick Kwiatkowski from West Virginia. I do think he's good enough against the run. Doesn't always find the football, but he'll blow up some blockers. He could play that bump type of role. And as I said earlier, he's good enough in coverage. So Jalen Smith, Reggie Ragland, Nick Kwiatkowski, and the one other guy I'll highlight is Darren Lee of Ohio State. I know he's high on a lot of people's boards, and for us, I don't think that the coverage instincts are there just yet, but he certainly has the speed and athleticism. He could be a menace off the edge when he's unleashed as a blitzer and as a chase and run type of linebacker. He's excellent. If you keep him unblocked, he'll get to the football pretty quickly. So I think Darren Lee is a pretty solid linebacker. I don't love him overall. I don't think he's a first round pick as others do, but a solid overall game and definitely some upside with that athleticism.
Fantastic. Steve, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us. I think this interview is going to be a resource for people as we look at isolating traits. So I think that's great. Once again, thank you so much for joining us and appreciate your insight.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Steve Palazzolo for joining us on a Wednesday morning here at Cheesehead TV. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Lots of off-the-field Packers news coming out of Green Bay on Tuesday, or the last, 48 hours since our last episode of Railbird Central. But in keeping with the NFL draft theme, there's been two pieces of football news that I kind of wanted to highlight here. Every year, of course, the Packers are allowed to bring up to 30 prospects in for visits to Green Bay, to team facilities, and news of a few of them has started to surface. And, of course, there was news that they were going to bring Noah Spence, who we just talked about with Steve Palazzolo earlier. That was reported weeks ago. But a few more here that are very, very notable. And one of them is Middle Tennessee state safety Kevin Byard, who ended up being one of the biggest NFL combine snubs, which is probably why the Packers are bringing him in for a visit. This news, according to Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle, who I saw first reported. I also saw Ian Rappaport, the NFL Network, reported as well. But yeah, just interesting here that, Byard is a guy who's Comes out of a Middle Tennessee State program, kind of a mid-major program and under the radar a little bit. But in terms of his body of work, I mean, this is a guy who intercepted, I believe, 19 passes, maybe it was 18, over the course of his college career. I mean, that's as much as it gets for a college safety. 19 passes, that's a really high number. So this guy's a ball hawk, and he's got, you know, the ideal size. He's 6 foot tall and 220 pounds. I mean, that's what you want out of an NFL safety. So, you know, a guy who's not going to be a first-round draft pick by any means could slip into the back end of round two or day two, perhaps, but kind of a middle-round pick and a very, very interesting one. So I think it's interesting to think, you know, if the Packers could, you know, address a few other positions first, this is a guy who would be an intriguing one later on. And another visit reported here as of recently is Devin Fuller, a wide receiver from UCLA. This according to Rob Domofsky of ESPN. And this is a very interesting story. Fuller's mother is a well-known singer that's performed alongside the artists like Bruce Springsteen, the Rolling Stone, Dave Matthews Band. Just kind of tangential information here, but Fuller, though, reportedly ran a 4.3 or in the 4.3 range at his pro day at UCLA. And, you know, it's interesting here. UCLA, you know, big-time passing attack over the past few years. And Fuller hasn't been like a number one wide receiver there or anything. He's kind of been a supporting guy, a number two and number three wide receiver who's caught, you know, 40 up to 50 passes a year, but it's never been the guy or anything like that. But, it, you know, maybe a diamond in the rough here, and a guy who, interesting enough, has a rapport with Packers quarterback Brett Hundley. In fact, they seem to be on more of a page, more of the same page than, you know, after Hundley left, the Fuller stats actually went down. So maybe they're looking to reunite there. And of course, with all these visits that the Packers bring in players to team facilities, fly them into Green Bay, they tend to bring players who are going to be, you know, late round kind of guys, perhaps even undrafted free agents. You know, guys who they want to, you know, impress them, and perhaps that'll encourage them to sign with them if the Packers don't have to invest a draft choice. And sometimes they do. Last year, they brought, you know, Aaron Ripkowski in for a visit. They brought tight end Kennard Backman for a visit and ended up drafting those guys in the sixth round. But, you know, others, though, you know, end up going undrafted. And then they signed with the Packers, probably because they like what they see when they were on the visit. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, they're going to bring in all NFL teams can bring in up to 30 prospects for visits. They can't exceed that number. And you'll end up seeing the Packers sign some of them. Obviously, they're not going to sign all 30 of them because some of them they don't even get that chance to. They're going to be drafted by a team other than the Packers. There's 31 other teams in the NFL, so they're not going to get all of them. But some of these names you will end up seeing the Packers sign or draft or somehow acquire at some point. And just some interesting names there that have kind of come up over the past few days. Safety Kevin Byard and wide receiver Devin Fuller. Some names to remember down the line here. But off the field news, pretty much over the past, you know, this week here, this has been the biggest news, the Titletown District. So the Packers have purchased, made apparently the final, this is the final piece of the Titletown District puzzle. They purchased a little less than 5 acres from the Department of Transportation, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, at a cost of $1.5 million. This was apparently, they actually purchased this parcel of land in early March, but it was not reported until just a few days ago. And this kind of completes the puzzle, so to speak. At least that's what I've heard. And according to reports and outlets that have reported on this. I know the Green Bay Press Gazette has. I know Fox 11 in Green Bay has as well. And just interesting there in terms of them, you know, getting that project underway. And, you know, speaking of the Titletown District, a groundbreaking ceremony was held by Lodge Kohler on Tuesday. So they are actually, as of yesterday, on the same day. It was kind of a weird day for them to do this in terms of the, it was also the same day as the Wisconsin primary for the presidential election being held. And I thought maybe they would choose to do it another day of, other than that, when the whole nation's eyes are on the state of Wisconsin for, but for other reasons. But anyway, the Packers hold a groundbreaking ceremony in conjunction with Kohler, who's making the big luxury hotel there, one of the key pieces of the Titletown District. So that taking place on Tuesday. So building is finally getting underway. Prior to this point, it was mostly bulldozing. You know, they've been clearing the land for a while. And if you live in Green Bay or near Green Bay, have visited there, you'll kind of notice how that area has been raised, a lot of it. And now finally, you know, after you know, years of speculation and months of, you know, planning, finally getting those things built, starting with Lodge Kohler, that, like I said, the luxury hotel there, just interesting. It announced yesterday, first time I've heard this as part of the plans, this Lodge Kohler is going to have a panoramic fifth floor restaurant that's going to kind of overlook Lambeau Field. I'm not sure if it's going to be high enough to actually see inside the stadium or anything like that, but overlook the, you know, the stadium and it's the outside of the stadium at least. And that's kind of interesting. It's going to apparently have an outdoor cigar terrace, which, you know, just, you know, it's a nice thing for Green Bay to have, some sort of, you know, upscale, you know, hotel and amenities like that. Certainly not going to be for everyone. But I think a place like Green Bay, if you've tried to get lodging from outside, the more hotel rooms in general, the better. The more room there's going to be for everyone, as that's always a challenge to do many times. So that, and, you know, the other pieces I'm sure are going to get, you know, underway soon in terms of the other, you know, they've kind of announced the three key pieces to the Titletown District. In addition to Kohler, they've got the Hinterland Brewery going up, and then they have a sports medicine clinic going up as well. Those, they haven't had groundbreaking ceremonies for them yet, but have to imagine that the pieces are in place for that to happen pretty soon here, as they hope to have these things open by the start of the 2017 season. That's really only a year and a half away, so there's going to be a lot of construction going on in the Titletown District adjacent to Lambeau Field very, very soon. And that brings us to the next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this day, this Wednesday, it is the final day, final round of pro days. So, I mean, this is something we've been rounding up for the past, you know, month or so, really taking place over the course of the month of March, but bleeding into the month of April here. And this is it. So on the, what is today, the 6th of April, this is the final day. There's four pro days being held today, most notably at Texas A&M, but also other ones at Memphis, where, of course, Paxton Lynch, the quarterback, will be working out. Also at Utah State and Georgia Southern. So four total today. Packers scouts will presumably be in attendance at least some of them. And that'll be it for in terms of going to campuses across the nation, going to colleges. This will be the last day after a month of being out on the road for the Packers scouts. You know, any visits or things that take place from here on out, it'll end up being happening at Packers facilities if they bring players in for visits or things like that. Or maybe they put guys through private workouts, but we're you know, getting close. Every time we talk here on Railbird Central, we're getting closer to the NFL draft as these things kind of wrap up here, and the scouting process and the evaluation process are getting near its final stages here. So that's happening today. And finally, on Wednesday here, invoices are due for Brown County residents that have been picked as part of the lottery for acquiring tickets from the Green Bay Packers this season. This is something that goes back to when, you know, they renovated Lambeau Field in 2003 and needed public funds to do so with a vote there. And you know, as part of this whole deal, they would, you know, allow Brown County residents to purchase tickets from the Packers. And you get, it's only one or two games a year. So we're not talking season ticket holders here. Their invoices were due already, but just those who were picked as part of the Brown County lottery, your invoices are due today. So if you've not done so already, contact the Packers ticket offices by the end of business if you want to purchase your tickets for a game for the 2016 season for the Green Bay Packers. Otherwise, you're not going to get them. They're going to go back to general sale, I suppose, if you don't end up paying. So make sure to do that. And that pretty much wraps up today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thanks to Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus for a lengthy and in-depth interview talking about defensive front seven players. That was a fantastic interview. You might want to archive this show and go back and listen to it again because these are names that the Packers might consider early in the NFL draft. So thanks to Steve for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, we'd greatly appreciate it if you gave us a rating and review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. A brief review and rating, we'd greatly appreciate it. Helps us get word out about the show. So we'll see you, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday. And we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Golden Ghost by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone. Go Pack Go.